It's time to rock and roll!
Will you introduce us?
Yeah. I'll introduce you guys. That was Gina Versa. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to... No, I'm going to do a real intro right now. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Waffle Press Movie Hangouts. I'm your host, Diego Crespo. With me today is my co-host, Gina Versa.
Hey, how you doing? Good to see you this day after Oscars.
Yeah. You know, co-host and producer. You do produce the show. I'm going to start introducing you as producer as well, because that is what you do. You are a creative producer, not just here, but in other fields, like filmmaking and stuff. And I'm not going to air out your dirty laundry or clean laundry, because you're just, you're constantly hard at work.
Thanks. Yeah.
You got stuff cooking in the oven, and people should get ready for that. Friend and part-time co-host, new co-host, Maxwell Deering.
Yeah.
Hi.
And editor. See, I'm getting, yep. I'm
yeah, editor. Yeah. He's been editing some of our shorts that you could see on YouTube.
Yeah.
I'm more behind the scenes. I did do one this morning.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome, dude.
But I'm good. It's 2 a.m. I don't typically do this, but like you know what? Actually, I did I did it last year with Matt.
Carry on.
Yes, thank you.
Oh, okay.
There's several Matts on Twitter. I'm so sorry.
One of many Matts.
Yeah, I did it with him last year in August when we recorded our Bones episode. So
That's sick. Yeah, we love the real Matt C here. Go check out that episode. Yeah, Max, thanks for being here this time. Producer of the A4E Action for Everyone podcast now as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
I actually was just on last night doing my first kind of hovering role. I popped in and out, but I was there. So like I'm officially like in the background now, or at least I'll try to be when I can.
Yeah, no. I listened to your guys' episode on the way to work. So, you know, and back. My drive wasn't that long today, thankfully, but long enough to listen to the entirety of the podcast. Good episode. Check it out. And then, of course, we have the great Manish Mathur here, our special guest for today. How are you, my friend? It's so good to have you on.
Thanks so much for inviting me and thinking of me. I'm very happy to be here. Thanks so much. I'm excited to talk about the Oscars and everything with all of you guys.
Yeah, same. Yeah, welcome to the show. Thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, I mean, you've had me on a couple times. We did one episode on DevDAS a while back, and that movie, it really like rocked my world, and it's so good. I would encourage everyone to go check out that episode. And you run a really tight ship over your podcast at Pod to Be You. It is one of my favorite podcasts to tune into.
Oh, thank you. That's very sweet. It's not a tight ship at all. I hardly do any work for it, you know, but it's a lot of fun to do, and I get a lot of really great guests. Taking a bit of a hiatus right now, but it'll be back in April, so not that long of a hiatus, but yeah, it's definitely a lot of fun. Romancing the Stone, right?
And then
Rosemary's Baby, yeah.
Rosemary's Baby, yeah. And
yeah, it was a great time.
It was
on my forever list.
Oh,
Rosemary's
yeah.
Baby.
Yeah. No. It's unfortunately, and you know, Manish really did a good job of like coaching me, like, hey, like, you know, let's not shy away from this. Let's not focus too much on it. Let's don't be a downer. Like, let's just talk about the movie, and you know,
yeah.
There's a certain man who unfortunately directed it, and who is a monster who just happened to make good movies. Both things can be true. And hey, if you see him in France, you know, on site, you know, he doesn't have to be here anymore.
Citizens arrest.
Yes, someone could take care of that, and I wouldn't be too upset. But I'm not too upset today in the aftermath of the Oscars. I'm going to go to a gallery mode so we see all of our beautiful faces. I would say last night was mostly the most entertaining Oscars I had seen in like the last decade, since like Billy Crystal popped in like a couple times. I'm sure there's stuff I'm missing, and people will be like, what about this? And I'll be like, yeah, you're right. But the like slap. Just off the top of my head, like it was fun to watch.
Okay. Yeah, I gotta bring that up.
But that was a moment, which you are all absolutely correct. Wow. but like the presentation was like pretty good. The bits were like, even when they like weren't super funny, they kind of became charming because like everyone was having fun with it. It wasn't like strained, you know.
It was enforced.
And it's like with the exception of Jimmy Kimmel, who I don't even like hate, who's he's not like a super big movie guy. I just wish they had a better host sometimes.
Yeah. You know?
Like I want a guy who's really excited about movies. Like
I was going to say, you know, I feel like someone like even like Conan, we do love. I think Conan, because I would feel like Conan, he knows his movies. Like,
didn't they start doing a multi-host the past few years because they couldn't get anybody?
It was interchanging. Yeah, that happened like a couple of times.
I feel like it's such a hard job just because like if the ceremony doesn't go well, even if it's out of your control, but the ceremony doesn't go well, you're the face of it. And like I feel like Jimmy Kimmel, they ask him every time, he's an ABC guy, he's been on that like, and he's like, I think he's like bulletproof from that, you know, like he survived the slap, he survived the La La Land stuff. I feel like if it's, I don't like his jokes. I thought some of them were a little mean yesterday.
Especially the beginning.
Insensitive. Yeah, like his jokes for Robert Downey Jr. I thought were really mean. And like, you know, Robert Downey Jr. does not need me to defend him or feel sorry for him. But I'm like, you know, it's his biggest night and you're calling him a drug addict.
Which
I know he's been open about that a lot, but like, I don't know, it felt a little. I mean, a lot of his jokes in the monologue felt very distasteful and insulting. And I'm like, we don't need a 100th joke about how long Killers of the Flower Moon is. It's long, but you know, it's worth the time. So I don't know, but it's like, I made my peace with, he's just going to be the guy until like someone else says, like my dream would be someone like, you know, like Channing Tatum or even bring back Anne Hathaway. Like, I think she would do much better this time around, but like, I just don't think anyone wants to do it, you know?
Yeah. Definitely bring her back and not James Franco, the other host.
I don't think he's allowed on the premises.
I didn't even realize Hathaway did it.
It was her and James Franco, and like she was trying so hard to like you know be a good host, and he was just like stoned out of his mind just kind of like had no energy. So she looked like a crazy person. I mean,
poor Anne.
Really makes you feel bad. I know.
Poor Anne.
I just think it's,
I think that's a good point, because it's like, for sure, like someone like Downey, like, you know, I'm sure like he's probably heard all those jokes before. Like, they're annoying, but it's like he's not going to be fazed, and we don't need to defend him. But certainly, you know, it's certainly right to like call like distasteful jokes or like jokes that are just not good. You know,
I also wonder if they go if they're going with Kimmel. Not to bring up the slap again, but last year with Chris Rock, they're probably like, yo, we don't want to piss anybody off where someone gets slapped on stage. So
exactly.
So they go with someone who makes a joke about someone being an addict.
I've ever liked Kimmel was like how he handled that. Basically just like, oh, I'm sorry, guys. Like, I didn't know. Like, a very human response, you know?
Yeah.
Or like after Moonlight ends up winning, he walks on stage like, oh, I just very like very humble, like, oh,
like, what do you
I knew I was gonna mess it up, I'm sorry.
What movies do you think Kimmel actually watches? Because it's like, he doesn't really seem like a movie buff, but I'm sure he watches like some stuff probably with his kids or something.
I mean, I'm sure he's seen like Barbie.
He watched
maybe
one
Oppenheimer
movie. He watched like two or three movies this year, and he's like, I think that's good enough, right?
Yeah.
He's a five movie a year guy, you know?
Five
movies.
Yeah. Maybe he watched like The Creator.
Maybe, yeah.
Mission Impossible, on Hulu. But like,
he watched it on Hulu.
I can't picture him watching Maestro, you know, or like Anatomy of Fall. Like, I just like, I'm trying to picture it. I just like, it comes up blank.
I think he goes to see the biggest stuff that comes out in a year, and so I think he probably saw Oppenheimer, he probably saw Barbie. He might have checked out some of the other nominees, probably not much.
I know a movie for sure he had to watch because he's in like actually a few movies, so he's seen movies that he's in, but he voices Batman in Teen Titans Go to the Movies, one of the best animated DC films, so at least he saw a good movie a while ago, but definitely wasn't his best night.
No,
Conan though. Conan would be a good host.
Conan would be a great host.
Yeah,
and
John Mulaney, I thought brought Mulaney, the house down. You know, just in 2 minutes, and I'm like, this is much like. I don't know if you guys saw his monologue at the governor's ball. The honorary awards, he makes fun of the movies, but in a way that feels like he's actually watched them and appreciates them, not just like, oh my god, it was so long, who cares? But and his jokes I thought were really funny at the Oscars, and I'm like, he should be someone that they should get, because people like him, people know who he is, and he's actually a movie fan and actually can create real jokes that are funny.
Which
is harder than it looks, but he can do it.
That's the other thing. It's it is a very hard job. We're just here talking shit, but it is a hard job. We all understand that for sure. And
we're all complaining, but we're one step away from them getting a TikToker up there, and then it's over.
Don't joke happen.
Don't even put that out.
You're gonna will it into existence.
Yeah, and Gene and I, we have an enemies list of TikTokers at the moment.
Yeah.
It's completely one sided. The Dune 2 press junket.
Comment further.
I just saw a video of this guy asking Zendaya if it's weird to kiss her friend, and I'm like, you have Zendaya in front of you and you're gonna ask her this stupid question? Should be groveling at her feet for being in your presence.
It's you Zendaya. Know what? I have the perfect host they can get. Mark Phillips, he's from the Vine days. You know him, the black kid. He hangs out with all his friends. They do all those funny videos. They live in that big ass house in suburbia.
RDC World, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's their stuff. Yeah, I really like him too. I don't think that's an insane choice. I think give that a couple years. Let's circle back to that.
He might be too abrasive though, because they might bring out the blackness up on that show, and the office like, oh no.
No, and then everyone will start pearl clutching and shit.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. That could cook. That could be something. I really like the Mulaney stuff though.
Yeah, Mulaney. Yeah,
that his bit on there. I think, and the audience really responded to it too.
Yeah, what a good cut though. Madam Web reference on the Academy Awards.
Oh well, that was a little.
I know that was. But... I love that one. Researching spiders in the Amazon when my mom died. Iconic.
I love that line.
It's not even in the movie. It's a good trailer line.
Yeah. When I heard that, I was like, that's my one deterrent of seeing the movie, is that that line's not in it, and I'm like, because I have my very morbid curiosity about Madame Web, to be honest.
I have a little bit of that too. I almost did watch it, and then I haven't been able to after all. But I got close, and I do think there's stuff to not even just for entertainment value, but I think it's fun to do a post-mortem, to do an autopsy on what happened to this movie. Because at one point someone wanted to make a motion picture with a beginning, a middle, and an end.
A good, so like, yeah. Like
yeah, someone probably cared at one point. What? How did we
get here? It might be a good podcast episode.
Yeah. That could be. I'll have to see Madam Web first, but let's...
Yeah. One thing at a time. That weekend came out, and I had this tweet all ready to go. It was a horny bonk tweet. It was the... sorry, you can blurb this. It was the horny nigga strangler with Batman. And I was ready, and then I forgot, because I'm like, oh yeah, nobody's gonna go watch this, so I guess I'm good. I don't need to do this.
Saved in your drafts,
ready to go, ready for this movie to burst in the weekend, and then nobody fucking saw it.
But you were planning ahead. You were planning ahead.
Yeah, because I knew why that was gonna make money, but it didn't make money.
Well, when it comes out on Blu-ray or digital, put it up.
Yeah.
Maybe we can do a watch party or something. I still gotta watch the J-Lo movie though, but for the Oscars.
Oh, okay. So
we don't go on our insane tangents already.
Okay.
I mean, even back when the nominations were announced, I was like, this is not too bad. These are some sinkers for sure.
I think I remember most people thinking that the nominations were mostly safe. It was all of the big stuff that we have been hearing about. been like, you know, I know, especially for you, Diego, no Ferrari, which was soul crushing.
Dude, that's
But like,
brutal.
there was no Ferrari, there was no Iron Claw. There were some, I think, misses for the most part that people were a bit surprised about. But all in all, I do think, like, yeah, it was fine. It was safe. And from what I heard, 'cause I didn't watch the whole thing, I was incidentally and dozing in and out while laying in bed looking for one award in particular. I think for the most part, like, everybody was fairly like happy. I think the only other one besides the big upset was a best adapted screenplay, at least for wins. But yeah, no, the nominations I thought resoundingly were pretty good. Yeah. Just in the nomination front, not even getting to actual wins.
And even then, I think the wins were pretty good. But let's go to our guest, Manish. What did you like? What was your response for initially the nominations, and then I guess most of the wins or some
I
of the
mean,
wins?
I was really happy with the nominations. Of course, like every year, there's always maybe a few movies that don't make the cut, and that's always upsetting. Like for me, the main one was, like, as you mentioned, Max the Iron Claw, which I really loved, and All the Strangers. Those are my two big misses. And like, I think May December underperformed, but I mean, I don't, I'm someone that follows the Oscar race year round. Like, my favorite time of year actually is sort of like in this like early period when, like, the movies haven't really been released yet, and like I was just kind of like, what's the year gonna look like? And like, Little Gold Men, the like awards podcast from Vanity Fair, like they do a year ahead Oscars kind of, not like predictions, but they're just like, here are all the movies that are coming out, and like maybe they could play or not, we don't know. So I kind of like tracking it in like from like March to like September, October, because like as like the precursors and the guilds start to like come up, then it's like these, as you're saying, like it starts to take shape, you then things become a little bit more predictable. So I was really happy, and I feel like, the reasons why like the movies that got a little less attention was just like because of like, it's a the studios had other priorities, or there wasn't enough money in the campaign, or they just like came out like the Iron Claw. Unfortunately, I think this came out so late that like by time I think A24 realized they had like a hit on their hands, it was just like too late. They already put all their, money into the Zone of Interest and Past Lives and everything. But I was really happy. I mean, I think this the nominations for Best Picture, it's like to me that the gold standard of what these nominations can be, like, all 10 of these movies were so different from each other. They were all hits in varying ways. They all had conversations around them. Some of them, of course, really positive conversations, some of them more negative, but at least people were like watching and talking about them. And that's to me the most important thing. Like, I don't really care if you hate a movie, don't like a movie, or love a movie, but I'm like, at least you're watching something and you're talking about it and you're engaging. And like, I think that took a lot of risks, like the Zone of Interest being like an art piece more than like a narrative movie was such a risk, and like it got so many nominations and won two awards. And I was pretty happy with the wins. I mean, the adapted screenplay, I'm a huge fan of American Fiction. Like, I really love that movie, and I feel like it kind of became like less appreciated as the season went on, but I really enjoyed that movie. I thought the screenplay was actually very clever in how it really balanced out its satire and family drama, and sort of like makes you think about why you liked one part better than the other, and your own relationship to like marginalized communities' stories and stuff like that. But and like I was a big Oppenheimer fan, like Barbenheimer was like such a big moment for me as well. Like, I saw both those in theaters with my mom, and my mom and dad sat through Oppenheimer in theaters without going to the bathroom. They're very riveted by it. So I'm very, but it's like, to me, it's like, it's so cool that like this movie that made like so much money was such a cultural moment is now like our Best Picture winner. Like, that's, to me, I'm always like less concerned with like, is my favorite movie winning Best Picture, which it did this year and has a couple many times in the past. But like, I'm more concerned with like, what does Best Picture say about our our movie year? And like, to me, Oppenheimer, I mean, and Barbie too, like, I don't want to discredit that, but to me, like, Oppenheimer is like, yeah, this was a cultural moment where everyone watched this like R-rated 3-hour historical epic that's all conversations, very little action, and just like from one of our most visionary like filmmakers. And it's just like, yeah, like that is what a best picture should be. It should be like a representation of what we are watching. And like, I think very rarely does that happen in the truest sense. Like Parasite was like that. You know, I think Everything Shape Ever All at Once was like that. But Shape of Water like didn't really capture the mainstream. Like it did and it didn't. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to tell sometimes what people are watching, but like definitely like to me, like Titanic is like the gold standard in my lifetime of like, this was a moment. This was like a genuine pop culture moment. And I think that Oscars should award that as much as awarding on the merit. And I think with Oppenheimer, it was definitely that. So it was definitely like a culture, like unmistakable, unescapable cultural moment. So like to me, like people seeing, like I know people who aren't into movies going to see Oppenheimer multiple times. And I'm like, yeah, this is crazy. Like, so yeah, I was very happy. Yeah. I mean, I agree that the show was really well produced. The In Memoriam sequence aside, which I thought was very awful. But other than that...
Oh, really? What happened? I didn't see...
They had, like, dancers. Like, it was very strange.
That was weird, yeah.
Pictures of all the people who died of it last year, and they've got people just dance.
They're doing, like, ballroom dancing or something on the stage. Mm-hmm. And, like, because they had to show the dancers, they couldn't really do close-ups of the, like, slideshow. Mm-hmm. So like, you couldn't even see the names.
Yeah, and like, that was really weird. If I die and I'm in the memorial, I'm gonna put like something in my will. I'm like, don't include me if there's performative dance for my thing. The other thing too, I was gonna point out for the memorial. I've never seen like I don't know if like they're pressed on time. All the names that they have left were just all on one slide.
Yeah,
so it's, like, so it's almost like
that it's was like repulsive to me.
Oh, it's Jesus. Like we're honoring you. And the rest,
but it,
and
it brings
like, yeah,
it like, brings up an interesting question because as you know, with the latest episode of A4E, we just had Brandon on, and I know and this is all interconnected. But we had Brandon Streisnig on. Sorry, Brandon, if I killed your last name. But he just had the Stud Awards with Vulture, and I know that the Oscars they brought up stunts. And then I guess they casually dismissed not giving them a stunt award category for whatever reason. And this ties into the In Memoriam segment, because ultimately the question I think that's worth asking is, who are the Oscars for? Because essentially they should be for Hollywood and for the public. But they host this, what, over the span of 2-3 hours, a televised event. And... forgive me, because I live out here, so like I've got at least 6 hours on you. So the last few years I'm not staying up to watch it. Mm-hmm. But if the televised event is 3 hours, it's not really a whole lot of time for you to give the love and support to this art form, which this is supposed to be. Because I know a good chunk of the awards they are, oh hey, we just gave best sound editing to these people. All right, let's keep going. Here's best actress, you know, that sort of thing. And so. The question is, who are these awards for? Because if you really want to celebrate this art medium, shouldn't you be giving everyone the love and time they deserve for however much? Because I know you got money. You're a billion-dollar industry. I know you can afford the televised air. Don't tell me you're not. I know you're cheap. You can't be that cheap, but apparently they are. So wow. I think that's also a constant question in terms of just the show itself.
I think, if I may answer that, because I think it's a really complicated question because... I listen to a lot of awards podcasts, mainly Little Gold Men, as I mentioned, and This Had Oscar Buzz and The Big Picture. So those are the three main ones that I listen to. And it's kind of like this interesting thing of like, I think the Academy Awards as a telecast is serving multiple masters. So like, of course they have ABC and all the like ad revenue and whatever they have to deal with. They have the movie fans like us, who want to see montages and clips and like have like let everyone speak for 5 minutes about every, you know, about whatever they want and like, you know, have like, you know, a lot of celebration of cinema. And I agree, like that should be the purpose. But then they also have to like think about the audiences of people that are just like tuning in just to like tune in and like who might not care about, you know, like the Zone of Interest or Anatomy of Fall or, you know, Poor Things or whatever, because they're just like, okay, the Oscars are on, we're just going to watch it. And then like, I think ABC or whoever is like televising these events, they're always worried about like normal everyday audiences who will watch it and turn it off after 20 minutes because it's a bunch of like rich celebrities talking about movies they've never heard of. I mean, that's why like there's always so much push for like, okay, let's get blockbusters nominated because people will watch. And then I actually just saw before we recorded that this was the most watched Oscars in 4 years with like 19 million people watching, which is crazy. Like, it's we're always seeing decreases. And yeah, it's because like Barbie was nominated. It's because Oppenheimer was nominated. It's because like, you know, Spider-Verse was nominated. Like these are all like big hits that that like normal people watched or like non-movie fans watched. So I think it's hard to really tell who these like awards are for. I think there's always this thing of like, I mean, we see it every year. They're always making jokes about the ceremony being too long. I think last night was actually the shorter. It was under 3.5 hours. I think it was 3 hours and 15 minutes. And yet I didn't feel like they were actually rushing people off. I think they played off some of the technical speeches, but
of course,
but they always
the
do
actual
that.
Craft of it. Yeah.
Yeah. They always do that. Yeah. And like, you know, that we, I think someone actually was able to like stop the orchestra. They like kept talking, the orchestra stopped. I forget who it
good
was.
Good on them.
I feel like it was the Zone of Interest. If someone made, or maybe it was, maybe it was a costume designer or someone. I have to go back and check. But like, I actually felt yesterday did not feel very rushed. It's because they weren't doing like sketches for one thing, bringing in like normal people into the auditorium or whatever. and I actually felt like everyone got a chance to like give a full speech. But I mean, I missed the clips. And like, of course, we had like the five presenters, you know, presenting each nominee, which I love that. So I felt like actually last night felt like much more of a celebration than definitely was like last year when like it was just a lot of like, let's go, let's go, let's go. But I don't know. It's hard to tell. I mean, I want to say the Oscars are for like people like us, but I actually don't know if that's true all the way.
I wonder if a potential out, and I, again, don't know if they do this, but what if, so if they mainly premiere it through ABC, so, and they have to have ad breaks, fine, sure. But then why not also do their own separate live cast where if you watch it through, I don't know, let's say the official Oscars channel through Twitter, for instance, a live stream, then there are no breaks. And so you can just tune in through that. And so when they do the, oh, best editing, they can, if for instance, if that's one of the awards that they skip over, then you, if you're a movie fan, you can watch the live stream instead of watching the commercial. You can watch the whole ceremony from beginning to end without ad breaks. I don't know. Maybe that's a way to do it. And then for people who want to, you know, go grab a drink while commercials are on, they can come back and they'll get an update. Oh, hey, while you were gone, these awards were given out.
I think eventually we're going to see award shows on streaming networks or like streaming services like, you know, Netflix or something. I think that's in the future. So I think you're very, very spot on, Maxwell.
Yeah. And I've had conversations with mutual Twitter pals too about like how the Game Awards, which are even more like overproduced and like specific and corporate interests than the Oscars, like, but for they stream on the internet. They stream on Twitch, it's like 80 plus million views, you know, that's like, that's Super Bowl numbers, you know? Or maybe not Super Bowl numbers, but pretty close. And it's like, that's pretty good. And of course, just because the Oscars would hypothetically make that leap, that doesn't mean they're going to get 80 million views or even 50 million views or even 25 million views, but it could happen. And I think a lot of that is like accessibility. I think that's like partially a benefit for the Oscars too, like just making movies like known to people. I think that's like a gateway to like curiosity, you know, like that's letting people know, like, you know, like I got my godparents being like, yeah, you watch that Poor Things? How was that? You know, it's like, it's great. I wouldn't watch it with you though.
That's an awkward watch.
Yeah.
For sure.
I actually, fun fact, I probably mentioned this on the podcast before. I definitely mentioned it to Gene, but like my godparents like were like, did you watch The Favorite? And I was like, oh yeah, I love that movie. Like, we thought it was awful. And I'm like, I wouldn't have recommended it to you because I know their taste, but you know, their interest is piqued when they hear like a movie has a lot of accolades and stuff. And
I
think that's the positive side of these things. Like, representation will not save us, but the idea that you can like learn about something or like ex find out for yourself whether or not something's for you. I think that's such a great way to discover art, for the people that have like 9 to 5s and like they don't live and breathe movies, they have like a life, what we call like 5 movie a year people, like they if they get interested in like what's the zone of interest, and it's like buckle up, not an easy watch, but hey, I'd recommend it.
Maybe
And
go,
then
maybe watch
of
something nice
course,
and fluffy afterwards.
yeah, maybe,
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
or like Killers of the Flower Moon. That one, it wasn't like a runaway hit by any means, maybe not
No.
even a real hit, but it like the critical conversation made its way to like normal human people in my family, where I'm getting asked about it. And like the big topic of discussion is we haven't talked about it yet, but I think everyone kind of assumed Lily Gladstone was gonna win, and she definitely gave my like favorite female performance of the year, my favorite actress performance of the year, outside of Penelope Cruz, who was slumped
Okay,
through it,
yeah.
whatever, whatever. But who I think is whatever. I've talked about that enough already. Stay tuned for the Ferrari podcast. But Lily Gladstone, like if she had, I guess if the nomination ended up not being like super culturally important, and th this is not on her, this is not in the movie, it's a systemic issue that an Indigenous Native American woman gets the chance to like have a cultural moment with a nomination and probable win. I think a lot of people assume she was going to win, and to
She would have
have
been the
that.
first Native American win, right? Potentially.
Yeah, I
I,
think so.
yes. Yeah.
So they, I mean, they that was a shoe, that was a shoe-in just to have everything you that was an easy win, not just for her because her performance is good, but also for the Oscars because like they could have their cake and eat it too. You know, they get
Yeah.
to coast
Yeah. They get to pat
another year
themselves in
on
the back and
reputation.
like, look,
Yeah,
we're progressive.
exactly.
And it's like, we all know that's bullshit, but hey, we would all win with that. And I think, I don't think it's controversial to say, I think even Emma Stone, when her name was announced, she was like, oh no, I don't think that was for me.
She had the same
And she gives a
performance
great
than I've had.
performance.
It
This
felt
is nothing
like an
against her.
apology.
Yeah.
She what?
I said her speech felt like an apology. Like you could tell that she didn't have anything prepared. She was like totally flustered and like she gave a special shot. I mean, so I don't know. It's complicated because I really loved Poor Things and Emma Stone's my favorite actor, or she's one of them. So like, and I feel like both times she's won, there's always been this like weird thing. I'm like, with La La Land, like the whole mix up happened. Now this is happening. I'm like, let this girl enjoy a moment,
Or
please.
Emma Stone. It is also one of those things because I think it's the Golden Globes. I talked about this with somebody else. The Golden Globes, they have like best musical and comedy and like best performance in musical and comedy. And I don't know if that's too much splitting hairs with the Oscars, but I don't know why you also don't just do that because I haven't, I came very close to seeing Poor Things this weekend, but just life got in the way. But it is a I've seen that clip going around with Mark Ruffalo, and I know it's funny.
It's
So
hysterical, yeah.
so I don't know why you also can't have that, because in that same breath, she could have won for a hypothetical best female supporting actress in a musical or comedy, and then Gladstone could have just ate with best actress overall. But again, I have no idea if the Oscars would have do that, if that's like somehow degenerating to someone not in a musical or comedy or vice versa. But yeah, no, her I think, yeah, there was two events I think that night where people were very upset about because it seemed like a shoe-in, and then another one that everyone was like, fuck yeah, this is great.
Yeah, it almost like, yeah, I don't know, it kind of left a bad taste in your mouth for mostly a like pretty good ceremony. Yeah, it's very unfortunate. Yeah,
I
but
agree, but I think that it's kind of, you know, interesting because I think that in Martin Scorsese movies, somehow, I think the Academy takes them for granted. And like I should mention, the Academy is not this like group of like five people in a room. Like it's thousands of members, and like, you know, I really don't like myself to, you know, talk about it as if it's like a monolith of like a people. Like it's obviously like many people across many different branches across the world of all different ages and whatever. But so they're not a monolith, and it's not like, you know, but I do think that in general, people who are in the industry, perhaps, and I think they take Scorsese for granted because he's been nominated a lot. Of course, he's only won the one time almost 20 years ago. But I think there's this thing of like, okay, we don't need to award his, because, I would be more shocked by this. I mean, I did put her in my prediction as winning, and I was hoping it would be for many reasons. One, because I think it's a really brilliant, subtle performance, and I think it's something that will only really grow in estimation for people over time. Like, I think her performance is really strong. And I think she's an incredible actress, incredible in interviews. Like, everyone was just charmed by her this whole year. And like, having watched her in like Certain Women, way back when, like, that was such also beautiful performance. And she's a beautiful person inside and out, just like the way she carries herself. So like, I'm very sad for her. But I do think that this thing goes even further than just her as an actress and her as a representative of her people, but because I think it's also a Scorsese thing. And like, I'm kind of disappointed to see how much it's being made of, like, I'm not disappointed, but I'm a little surprised that people really aren't putting together that, like, Scorsese, like, this would have happened if this was like any other movie or any other actor, because I do think that there's this like very very just, yeah, like taking Scorsese for granted thing going on. Like, The Irishman won nothing, Silence won nothing, The Wolf of Wall Street won nothing. Like, he hasn't won an Oscar. His movie has not won an Oscar since Hugo, which was like almost, I guess, like 15 years ago, 10 years ago. So like, I think that there's also this thing of like, yeah, like Yorgos Lanthimos, like, his movies are new and they're fresh, and he's like this like amazing young, I mean, he's not that young, I think he's in his 40s or 50s, but like, he's like this new talent that people just kind of discovered, like with The Lobster, and The Favorite. And Emma Stone is obviously she's becoming a like generational talent, with her work in Poor Things and her work in The Curse, on Showtime and Paramount. So like, I think that there's just like, I think like with Scorsese, like, there's no like surprise or like narrative when he makes a masterpiece, because like, he only makes masterpieces. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it sounds awful to say, and like, I sound like a crazy person when I say it, because it's like, it's Scorsese. Like, I just bought After Hours on Criterion. Like, I love the guy, and like, I would love, but it's just like, I feel like it's the same thing with Spielberg too. Like, these guys, like, they just kind of get taken for granted, and we kind of forget like to really appreciate, not we, but like, I think in general, like, there's this like loss of like urgency to appreciate them, because like, they've been doing amazing things forever and they're always putting out hits. So like, I just feel that I'm curious to see kind of where Scorsese goes from here. And I mean, Lily Gladstone, like, I pray to God that her career is bright and that her future is,
Too.
showered with praise and roles and everything. I mean, I kind of also am very hesitant to award women of color awards for their breakout movies, just because, like, as you've seen so many times, it's just is a curse. I mean, it can be a curse. If you look at someone like Lupita Nyong'o or Jennifer Hudson, who are very talented and have had good careers, but like never quite taken off. That's why I was very much kind of happy that Stephanie Hsu did not win an Oscar last year, because I'm like, you know what? She's let her keep. Let her like kind of build up a resume rather than like give her a
And she still
breakout
has the
Oscar.
nomination,
She
so
got the nomination, and I think that's almost better. And like Charles Melton too, for a male example. Like, I mean, he didn't get the Oscar nomination, but like, his profile is way out there, and now he's not like, he didn't like reach the zenith of his career so young, so there's nowhere more to climb. And so I mean, Lily Gladstone is not, I mean, she's not, a teenager, but like, she's still like in her like early stage of her career. Like, now I feel like there's potential for her to like really build on this nomination and build on this year. And I hope that the people that she's surrounded with are, helping her do that. I'm sure they are. I hope that someone like Lanthimos or Noah Baumbach or any of these sort of guys or whoever, Justine Triet, whoever, I hope they're like watching, being like, yeah, let's get her in here. Cord Jefferson, Bradley Cooper, any of these people. But
I
yeah,
think
I
also it not especially Kills of the Flower Moon not winning. I will say I think all last year in terms of 2023 films, there was something in the water in terms of American sins, both affecting America and other countries, and I do think there's something in the water with that. But it does speak to an extent, I think, that the Oscars. I won't say they won't really touch thornier subject matters, but talking about Oppenheimer, which was the very big winner of last night, is much different than talking about Kills of the Flower Moon in terms of what its subject matter is about. And yeah, you can definitely, I think, make the argument, especially with Nolan, that Oppenheimer was not made like your traditional biopic, not edited, not paced, not it doesn't move like any biopic. I think you've seen we traditionally see that typically gets praised. And I think also because of Killers of the Flower Moon doesn't necessarily as well, but you see how much Oppenheimer took home the bacon last night as opposed to Kills of the Flower Moon, which didn't take home anything. And I think it's something interesting that that subject matter seems almost maybe too dark for them to give any voice to. I say that I know that the Osage they did end up playing at the Oscars, which again is nice, but I think it would have been nice also if for that win to give some acknowledgement to some of the original sins outside of nuclear destruction. That's really well said.
Well said. Yeah, it is strange that such a heavy movie was like, yeah, that's the one, that's the shit right there. I'm gonna watch that a dozen times in theaters and IMAX, and it's like, it's just depressing.
I
I mean,
think there
it's a great
was,
movie, but it is
I
like, oh
think there's
man, yeah.
something like, I think World War II, because like we also have the Zone of Interest, won two awards, and like it won a technical award and best sound, which I think it's like the crowning achievement of the movie is its sound design. I mean, and I think World War II is just feels different than, because I think with like, the genocide that happened, and during the colonial era and before, like I just think that's just so much more, I think that's so much harder for Americans to really stomach, because it's like it's not the Nazis. Like the Nazis are an easy villain. We still have them,
You
but like
can't point at them and tell them, hey, white people are bad guys. General White people
exactly
go, oh
like
no.
with like those Osage murders, it's like, oh, we're the villains. I mean, not my family, but like, and like, I'm like, oh yeah, that's us. And like, we're all like, in some ways, we're all profiting. Like, this is kind of like, this is the basis of the movie, The Curse. Like, we're all the show, The Curse. Like, we're all profiting off these murders still, 100 years later. And like, that's really hard. And also, the movie's length is also, I mean, I, sorry, I cannot form a sentence. I think that the
You're doing
movie
great.
deserves to be, 3.5 hours long because it's Scorsese and it's a very important story and there's a lot to it. But I do think that if someone is like looking at a 3.5 hour movie about, genocide in America that we're all profiting from in some way versus Oppenheimer, where it's like, I mean, Oppenheimer is very morally complicated and prickly. Like, it's not an easy movie. And it does confront us with truths about our own participation and stuff. But I think, as you're saying, like Nolan packages it in a way that is very accessible and very exciting and very propulsive to the movie's credit. But I think Colors of the Flower Moon is very languid, it's very atmospheric, it's very it is very like deliberately paced in a way that works for the movie, but I think it can be a deterrent for a very stubborn Academy voter who, because as much as diverse it is now, it's still overwhelmingly white and male and old, but and but that
Sadly.
generation is going to die off, but until then we'll have to deal with this kind of taste that they might have.
Speed up the
No, I
process a little bit somewhere.
yeah I would totally agree, because it's like, we were we did friends and I were doing ballots, kind of like marking it who would win.
I was so close to winning. I just wanted to be clear. I fucked up because I put Giamatti instead of Killian.
Oh man.
I would have won. I was
And,
I thought there was gonna be an upset
next year, And when we were handicapping these ballot picks, you know, you're kind of like thinking about it, and like, you know, there's like one side of your brain like, oh, I want this to win, but it's like when you're thinking about, well, we're basing our picks on what Academy voters watch and what they like, and you're like, man, it's like this person, this should win, but it's like it's totally not, because it's like with their taste and everything, you know. It's very unfortunate because, yeah, the voters, you know, some of them, you know, you kind of read stories and like don't even watch the screeners, you
Yeah,
know, and
they
it's like,
every it's always
yeah.
my kind of most anticipated part of the Oscars is when those articles start coming out and they're
Oh, I never
anonymous
read those.
voters,
I
and
hate
then
those.
it's
Yeah, it
so
makes
like
you lose.
Jesus,
They're
makes
just
you lose faith.
infuriating. I
Yeah,
can't
you lose,
deal.
you lose faith in the world after reading
Yeah.
those.
I mean,
Yeah.
I will also say that, like, you know, I know Poor Things is kind of the villain today, which is fine. I mean, whatever. But I do think that movie is very revolutionary for an Oscar-winning movie, especially a Best Actress winner, in terms of its like sexual content, its themes, its very like go for broke style. It's, you know, it's a movie that is very like specific to Yorgos Lanthimos' vision, and he like ups his own, like, that was my second favorite movie of the year, so maybe I'm defending it, but like it's like it's very much like I think a very courageous movie that I think the Academy of 5, 10 years ago would not have touched. And to see it get, you know, 11 nominations and 4 wins, you know, and you know, three of those are for technical stuff, so like fine, but like, you know, to see like an actress win an Oscar for that is like kind of wild, because it's a very absurdist go for broke like out there performance, when like, you know, so it's to me it's kind of hard. Like, there's a lot of baggage that comes with Lily Gladstone losing the Oscar, of course, like the racial component, the Scorsese component, the subject matter. But I think like pound for pound, it's really hard for me to say which one I like better, because they're both so different, and they're both so like, they both play to their strengths of their actors in a way that is very exciting to watch. Like, you know, Lily Gladstone's facial expressions, her like the way that she can convey an entire monologue with just her eyes. Like, she doesn't even need to talk, and I already know exactly what she's thinking. What she, like that ending scene, like her last scene with Leo, I was like, it broke my heart. You know, I'm like, I knew the scene's coming, and I know that's this how this movie's gonna turn out. But like, oh, and the bravery of like the radio ad when like her story doesn't even have a proper ending. You know, it's just like, it's just, it's such a beautiful movie. Like, I really am sad that like this movie did not get recognition, even as like the Oscar follower. It'd be like, well, actually, all the dots were there to, like, you could see in retrospect how this happened, you know.
Well, what you
Yes.
should do in the future is have a ballot for what you think the biggest upset will be. Because
Yeah,
I think
honestly.
if I had thought about it, I probably would have picked that was probably going to be the biggest upset. Because everything else seemed about
I mean, I'm not even sure if it was a true upset in the way that like Olivia Colman was, you know, when she won her Oscar, because like they've been sharing awards all season, you know. Like, it would be like Emma would win one, then Lily Gladstone would win one, then Emma would win again, and then Lily Gladstone would win. And it's kind of like, it was really, and then Sandra Huller might win one, and you're like, wait, where did she come from?
And at one point the dog is just gonna show up and you're like,
Dog,
I guess,
yeah.
yeah, I guess that too, yeah, why not?
But the
But
biggest
yeah.
winner of the night is also the biggest person on the stage. In fact, you could say they probably dwarf the stage by quite a bit. It's
Oh.
Godzilla.
Oh, yeah,
Godzilla is an
brilliant.
Oscar winner.
I'm so glad
Ryan
this,
Gosling is not that tall.
yeah, I was gonna say, isn't it so cool? Isn't it so cool that a Godzilla movie won an award,
Oh
and the
my
award was
God.
presented by Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Oh,
What a cool,
Godzilla.
what a cool thing to live through. I was asking Max last night, do you guys think Arnold watched Godzilla Minus One? Because I think he likes movies. Like, he's like fairly a movie buff, right? You
No,
know?
I think so.
I think he's a star that actually likes movies. Not to dwell too much in this, and we should start wrapping up.
Yeah,
But
for sure. Wait, can I ask you one question? Did it annoy any of you that they were acting like Schwarzenegger's Batman was Michael Keaton? It drove me crazy. I'm like, no.
I'm so glad you
Yeah,
said it. I didn't want to be a
Michael Keaton
buzzkill,
did
but you're like,
not
yes, you're so right.
defeat
It's not a
you. That was
buzzkill.
George Clooney.
Yes.
And, you know, Batman and Robin needs to be represented. It should not be forgotten. I was so mad. And like, I don't get mad about that stuff.
Yeah.
But like, you know,
would have nailed that bit is if just like they don't cut to him or anything like that. But when they're doing the bit, you just see Clooney kind of peek out from behind Keaton or something like that. Yeah, that would exactly. have like nailed
yeah,
it.
That would have been good.
That is perfect.
I don't think he was there. But,
no, no, he's probably making a new movie for Netflix or something.
Yeah, I did love that Keaton reaction. That just that little like
it was very
that was
funny. But
that
I was like,
shift. He just turned into Batman immediately.
Yeah.
Like, George Clooney will not be ignored. Okay. In some ways, he's
no,
Batman.
He shouldn't be. No joke. I threw on Batman and Robin just as background noise because, like, say what you want about the movie, like yeah. it or don't. Like, sure. it's a lot of movie. It's something to have on.
It's you know? People put thought into that. People put
it
thought
definitely
into
contributed
that
to my yeah. homosexuality. I will say that. You know, Uma Thurman, yeah. Silver Stone.
Everyone's really hot in those movies.
Yeah.
The Joel Schumacher ones, they're just like attractive people.
Oh, know? Okay. And the Schwarzenegger point, I just want to say, I do think he watches movies because look at his career up until he's governor and like maybe the late 90s. He's picking very interesting directors. Like, obviously, he starts working with James Cameron, which is just like slam dunk. He works with Paul Verhoeven. You know, he was going to work with Ridley Scott on an I Am Legend movie. Like,
yeah, that's right. Yeah, that would have been.
I think that dude was committed to craft. So, yeah. you know, say what you want about him as an actor sometimes, but that dude was trying shit. So,
yeah,
I'm willing to bet he did actually watch Godzilla.
Yeah, I think he liked it. In my head canon, he liked it.
I don't know anyone who didn't like Godzilla Minus One. So
yeah, and I think because I brought this up, this was back on the episode A4E that I did back in December. You know, even if you didn't like it, there's still stuff to talk about because I know people because there were people I don't necessarily know, but there were critics I saw who didn't like it because of its portrayal of the Japanese during that time period. And it's a omission of certain aspects of history for that film to fit its narrative. I think that's totally fair. But yeah, seeing that win, seeing Godzilla Minus One win was just something else. Incredible. I think that's the one thing everybody on the time I was just like, yeah, like yeah. I thought unanimously everyone was like super excited about that. I was so hyped for it that during the recording yesterday, even before the recording, I had a dream of like an edit. And so while I was recording with A4E, I just quickly spliced together those clips. And so I made a little video clip of that video that goes around with Keanu Reeves and John Wick, where he says, yeah, I'm thinking, and it goes 5 stars and it plays Cyberpunk music. So I just spliced it and I just put a clip from YouTube of Godzilla roaring from Minus One. And he says, yeah, I'm thinking. And he just fucking screamed. And I love it.
Please send that to me after this episode recording.
Yeah, yeah, I'll put it in the group chat.
It's funny you showed me that. I was laughing.
But it warms my heart so much because I mean, I do know that they did get the team on stage and they got to talk. Also, brief moment. Did you guys see their shoes?
Of course, I saw their shoes.
I followed the artist immediately because I think he just got a surge in followers because people are like, yeah, we want those shoes.
Because yeah, so that was sick.
Cross your fingers.
He's going to sell out like immediately.
Yeah.
But for me personally, like I wanted Lily Gladstone to win, but like Godzilla winning was like, that was, I was on a high cool. when I woke up this morning.
I was screaming, yelling at the TV.
Is that the first Godzilla movie to win an Oscar?
That's correct. Yeah,
which is crazy because I really thought King of the Monsters from 2019. I was like, surely that was nominated, at least for visual effects. And I'm like, I guess
visual
not.
Visual effects
so.
Went to 1917.
Oh yeah, I think so. I remember the plane bit in that one.
Yeah,
I'll just look real quick.
I thought Max was making a joke about King of the Monsters getting nominated because like I know people don't like that movie. Mm-hmm. I like that movie, but I know
it's a good movie. Yeah.
It's fun. It's fun. People got hangups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I do like King of the Monsters. Like that's not a joke. I on the A4E Discord, I'm like me and maybe two other people are like the defenders of that movie. Everyone's like, you can't see anything. It's bad. I'm like,
no. We don't have time to get into why all those people are wrong. I'll start. I'm gonna hop on Discord. I'm gonna start.
Not worth my time.
Shit.
Not worth my time.
People don't want to know what I think the worst MonsterVerse movie is. If you follow me on Twitter, you know what I think already.
Right.
It's Kong,
isn't it?
That's such a terrible movie.
Did you
find what won VFX in 2019?
The quickest Google search looks like it was First Man, which don't sound right.
2018. King of the Monsters is 2019, so it'd be the 2020 Oscars.
It'd be the 2020 Oscars, the Parasite year.
We could wrap up after this. Now I'm just super curious.
Yeah, it's 1917.
1917. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
And
yeah,
the nominees were, please hurry up and load. 1917, Irishman, Endgame, Get the Fuck Out, Lion King, Rise of Skywalker.
You know, hey, look, weird lineup to say the least. Rise of Skywalker has some great effects in it. Not always, but sure, there's some good shit there. Okay.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have been the worst win. But anyways, that's the episode. We clearly have a lot to say, so follow us all on Twitter. Links down below. But mostly, follow our great guest, Manish Mathur. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was a lot of fun. Thanks a lot.
I'll put your links in the description below. But if you want to shout out anything else you got going on, it Pod to Be You. You mentioned coming back in April.
Yeah, it'll come back in April. We just celebrated our 100th episode and did a tribute to Gone Girl, which is like the ultimate romantic comedy. And so a lot of fun. Got a lot of guests just to talk for a few minutes about the movie and sort of its kind of legacy in the last 10 years that it's been out. So check that out. It's a really fun episode. I'm really proud of it. And of course, listen to, you know, Diego and me talk about Rosemary's Baby back in last year. And Romancing Stone, which was like peak pandemic time. I think it was like August 2020 or something.
Yeah.
So check out for that. And thanks for having me.
Yeah.
No, of course. Like you're welcome back anytime. Thank you for coming on. Have a good rest of your night. Everyone else, enjoy the rest of your days. This will be uploaded the following morning. So enjoy the rest of your day. Yeah. Okay. Like and subscribe if you didn't like this episode. Like and subscribe anyways, because you might find something you do like. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. We have been professionally unprofessional. Take care.